welcome to Reformation Platform Media. And now, we present to you God's Word, which is able to save your soul. Please, listen with your heart as the servant of God brings us the Word of Life.
On the other side of the shore takes place, you will not be missing in Jesus' name.
Heaven invisible only, the second page, page number 2.
Those holy gates forever bar.
Those holy gates forever bar. Pollution shall sing and shame. None shall obtain our dreams there. But for us all. Thank you.
brethren, in the spirit of prayer, before we begin and go into the word of God. The Bible speaking in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 27. It says, "And there shall in no wise enter in all that defileth or walketh abomination or a lie. Only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life." I want us to pray. Lord, in the day when those holy gates will bear pollution, sin and shame, let me not be barred in Jesus' name. Whatever that is in my life now that will make me rejected as far as God's kingdom is concerned, Lord, point them out to me, even in this meeting, and by your grace, help me to deal with them. In that day, Lord, when those holy gates will forever bar pollution, sin and shame, let me not be barred. Let me not be rejected in Jesus' name. Let me not be cast away into outer darkness, and yet I've spent all my years in church. Help me in the name of Jesus. Confront me now when I can change. Oh Lord my God, confront me now when I can change. Do not keep quiet on my case. Don't lead me on in my foolishness. Don't let me go on in my conceit, thinking I'm fine, thinking everything is okay, when actually you are just waiting for that last day when men will be barred. Help me, O Lord my God, in Jesus' name, that I will not be barred on that day. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. The songwriter said, "None shall obtain admittance there but followers of the Lamb." Lord, I believe I follow you, but Lord, you know best. Therefore, wherever my followership is still lacking certain ingredients that makes my followership genuine, that makes my followership complete, Lord, reveal it in this meeting and help me to set things aright. Lord, I follow you. I know I follow you. But you are the Almighty God. And you are the all-knowing God. You are the one who knows all things. Baba, could there be certain places? Could there be certain ingredients that are missing in my followership? Oh Lord my God, I plead in the name of Jesus that you will reveal it in this meeting, that my followership of you may be complete. So that on that day when I close my eyes in death, on that day when you come to take the righteous home, I will not be left behind. I will not be disappointed, even in the name of Jesus. Whatever, oh Lord, that makes my followership to be incomplete, Lord, reveal it in this meeting, in the name of Jesus. And as you reveal it, help me and grant me grace to be able to do the right thing. May go well with me, even in the name of Jesus. Thank you, precious Father. In him we have prayed. So he keeps the Father's book of life. There all their names are found. The hypocrite in vain shall strive to tread the heavenly ground. I want us to ask him, Lord, any and every form of hypocrisy that is left in my life, anything that makes me to have a double face, I'm something in church, outside I'm something else, Lord, deal with it in this meeting. Let me be a single person. Let me be the same everywhere. In the name of Jesus, let us pray. Father, you are the one who knows me more than I can ever know myself. Oh Lord my God, there's a way I see myself, there's a way people see me, but there's a way you see me. Lord, I plead in the name of Jesus. Any form and every form of hypocrisy, wherever it may be hiding in my life, Lord, this meeting, so that I can be a single person in my house and in the church, outside and inside, even in the name of Jesus. thank you, precious Father. Glory to your holy name. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. And so, Father, we are here in your presence. We plead that you will speak unto every heart in Jesus' name. Meet with every soul in the name of Jesus. And let your will be done. You know our needs more than how we need them. And even more than how we know them. Father, meet each soul at the point of our needs in the name of Jesus. Whether it is spiritual needs, whether, oh Lord my God, it is emotional need, whether it is physical need, meet us at every point of our needs in the name of Jesus. Glory to your holy name. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Let us be seated. God bless you. Praise the Lord. As a way of introduction, as we are coming into this meeting, I want us to follow the Lord to help us to answer the question, how does a weary eventually enter the coming kingdom of God and of His Christ? I want us to come together as we sit at the feet of the Holy Spirit, makes known unto us the mind of God. How does it happen? On what basis are we admitted in through those pearly gates? It's just an introduction, okay, but that's what we will do now. That's where we'll begin from. Weary soul eventually gain entrance into the coming kingdom of God and of His Christ. So, I will put forward three questions. Amen. The first question is, maybe on the basis of good works, and then we'll attempt to answer them by the Holy Spirit. Could it be on the basis of good works? Secondly, could it be on the basis of one of the religion of one's ancestors? And finally, the third one, could it be on of religious piety? The first one, could it be on the basis of good works? Sadly, human goodness and worldly righteousness is like a flag. Amen. What is it like? Particularly, it's like a woman's used menstrual rags. Amen. You know, when women use menstrual pads, the pads are even more hygienic. It's thrown away, is it not so? Is it kept? The things that we could have counted to make us think that we are okay and that God likes us and that God is happy with us, if we gather all of them and put them together, what did the Bible say about them? They are like filthy rags. Isaiah 64, verse 6. Isaiah 64 and verse 6. Are we there? It reads, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like a wind, have taken us away. Amen. We all fade. Amen. There's only one person who will not fade. It is Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. We are all, as far as God is concerned, we are all as an unclean thing. And all works of righteousness that we could have done. You know, there are some people that are good in themselves. Huh? If you see cockroach, you will not step on it. Because he believes that everybody has a right to life, even a cockroach. There are people who don't like seeing other people suffer. He doesn't like to hear anybody's hungry. So when he sees an hungry person, what does he do? He looks, even if he doesn't have, he goes out of his way to look for funds to give to that person so that person can be fine, can be okay. There are those who have orphanages and several kinds of NGOs, non-profiting organizations with the whole purpose to make sure people don't suffer. Heart Foundation. Paying school fees for people. All manner of good things like that. Except that they are not good enough. Amen.
I said that what? Good works cannot save anyone. On that great day, both the proclaimed and the profane, both the gentleman and the rogue, both the noble lady and the despised harlot, both the VIP and the commoner, all of the world without hope, since they are not in Christ, will be equally damned and denied entry into the coming kingdom. It's a fearful thing, but that is the simple truth. Whether you have established NGOs that fed millions of people, or you built cancer research centers that helped so many people, or you gave relief materials to IDPs, orphanages, and so on, all at the expense of your own soul, none of those things will count on that great day. For a man can give all that he owns and yet still be lost. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. A man can give everything that he owns, and at the end of giving up all that he owns, including his own life, God will still say he has not done anything. 1 Corinthians 13. Are we there? Okay, I want us to read. We could even read together. Verse 3, 1, 2, 3, go. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and I have not love, it profiteth me nothing. It profits what? Nothing. You could even be somebody who every Friday, you know, you cook a mass, and you go to those beggars and you give them one plate of food, and you did every Friday, and you've been doing it the last 15 years. The problem with human goodness is this. It becomes a basis by which we want to come before God that I've done something. And by works shall no man be saved. Amen. A man might give all that he owns, and yet he's still lost. Could it be on the basis of the religion of one's ancestor? You know, maybe because I was born a Muslim, so how must I die? A Muslim. Since my father was a Muslim, my grandfather was a Muslim, my great-grandfather was a Muslim. Are you getting it now? Or I was born in Anglican church, so therefore where will I die? And where must they bury me? Anglican church. Can it be on the basis of the religion of one's ancestor? All human religions cannot save a single soul. Amen. For religion is man's attempt at reaching God. See Romans 3, 9 to 20. We'll not be able to read it. Romans 10, 1 to 4. We will read it. However, it is the finished work of Christ that is God's means of reaching mankind and bringing them back to himself. Brethren, there is no other way. Romans chapter 10, verse 1 to verse 4.
Romans 10, 1 to 4.
Yes.
Dear brothers and sisters.
Dear brothers and sisters.
The longing of my heart.
The longing of my heart.
And my prayer to God.
And my prayer to God.
Is for the people of Israel to be saved.
My prayer is that the people of Israel will be saved.
I know what enthusiasm they have for God.
I know the kind of zeal they have for God.
But it is misdirected zeal.
Except that their zeal is misdirected.
For they don't understand God's way of making people right with himself.
For being ignorant with God.
Refusing to accept God's way.
For being ignorant of God's righteousness.
They cling.
And going about to establish their own righteousness.
They cling to their own way of getting right with God.
Yes.
By trying to keep the law.
Yes.
For Christ has already accomplished the purpose for which the law was given.
So they have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God.
As a result.
Yes.
All who believe in him are made right with God.
Amen. I'm praying in the name of Jesus that you enter spiritual rest today. That's my prayer for you. I was really burdened when the Lord opened this scripture to me. How will anybody pray and say his desire is that Israel should be saved? When did God save Israel? When? So thousands of years ago, God delivered Israel from bondage in Egypt. And he took them out so that they will no longer serve idols in Egypt, and they will no longer be slaves in Egypt, and they will serve him alone. And over 3,000 years after that event, the Apostle Paul was praying, himself, an Israelite, and was praying, God, my desire is that these people will be saved. Brethren, I gradually move to my point number 3 as I'm explaining this scripture, okay? And my point number 3 says, could it be on the basis of religious piety? It's not possible. Even Christian religion cannot save anybody. Christianity is what saves, and it is not a religion. Amen. My prayer is that Israel will be saved. Can I say it this way? Since the church believes that it is spiritual Israel. Amen. My prayer is that the body of Christ will be saved. My prayer is that what? You know, it's ironical, is it not so? For the body of Christ is expected to have been saved. Except that the flesh can also claim to be spiritual, because the spirituality of the flesh is religion. And when the flesh shows you that it's religion, I mean, just look at Boko Haram. Who does that? You are killing on behalf of who? God. And you believe you are a righteous man, that what you are doing is right. Is Paul different from Boko Haram? Or you didn't know it's not different? For on that day, when your soul stands before God, what will you tell him? What are the things you will point to that should be the reason why he should allow you in? You will be shocked that even the best of us will count works. Not the work of Christ, though. The works that I have done and that I am doing. Some will even count ministry. Say, Lord, 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 did you not prophesy in your name? Did you not do many wonderful works in your name? How will you say you don't know me again? How will you say you don't know me? But he said, I will say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, because I don't know you. My prayer is that Israel will be saved. You and I know very well that church is not what church should be. And except God is a clown, that's the only way all of us will enter heaven the way we are. Amen? Except God is an unserious person, doesn't know what he's doing. But God is not a clown. God is a very, very terrible person who does not bend his rules for anybody. Not even me that is speaking to you. And therefore, if any man will be saved, what must that man do? He must find what are God's qualifications, what are the demands of Jesus, how do we follow him, for he's the one who opened this new way, is it not so, into the eternal kingdom. So we have to find it. And having found it, we have to do all that we need to do to come in. He said, I bear them record. I can bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And Paul could say that. Why? Because Paul had been a religious fanatic before. They have a zeal for God. They have an enthusiasm. But it is misdirected zeal. The amount of nights and hours spent on vigil. What are you praying about? Things Jesus has died for sins. I will give you freely if you just obey him. Say no. I will remain in disobedience. If I shout well, he will hear me. We come. Men tell us nothing can. I mean, men on pulpit tell us nothing can be done without money. We believe them. Even when Jesus said that money is an idol, amen. We believe them. Oh, we believe them. For there can't be false prophets if there are no false brethren. Can an idol later enter heaven? Is it possible? Somebody who lives his life worshipping money, one will do for money things he will never do for God. Can that kind of person be admitted in? Which way will he use to come in? And because iniquity will abound, the love of many is waxing cold. So when we see preachers with their jeeps and jets and all that, we tell ourselves, if I can't beat them, What should I do? Let me join. Am I holier than daddy in the Lord? Daddy's new Jeep, it is flying on the ground. It's on the ground. It's still flying. It's flying on the ground. Me too, I want a good thing. Let me tap anointing. No man of God died for you. Jesus did. Amen. Such things must happen because prophecy must follow its due course. We are in the end of time and it is clear that deception will abound. Okay? So you cannot even come to God and tell him that you didn't know that you're being deceived because you have a Bible and you're educated. You could read. What is the point of having so much zeal but misdirected? Imagine somebody who was asked, clear the grass in the house. Clear what? Or the bush or whatever you want to call it. And then he took and used all his effort to clear the grass around the perimeter fence. Has he done anything? Was that what he was asked to do? That wasn't what he was told to do. So as long as he hasn't done what he was told to do, will it be counted for him as righteousness? Will it be counted for him as that he has done right? The answer is no. It's the same type of thing. We are more afraid of men. We are more afraid of what they will think about us if we stand on the Bible and insist on the Bible. Many of us never learned hypocrisy until you came to church. Amen. Many of us were plain people who just wanted to serve God. But the moment you enter church, you became a hypocrite. If you are thinking that those things cannot be excuses before God, God, see, I was the only one in that church. If I had obeyed you, everybody would be against me. It will open to you the perfect law of liberty, which is the word of God. And you will see therein that you are not, that it is given to you in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. It's there in the Bible, and it's New Testament. It will open. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus, they shall suffer persecution. It will open it. And then what argument can somebody give when God gives infallible proof that one is just disobedient because one chooses to be disobedient? What are we going to be able to count on that day? He says, for being ignorant of God's righteousness, they are going about establishing their own righteousness. That's what is called religion. What is that? That's simply what is called religion. When one is ignorant of God's righteousness, and then he goes about to establish his own. And then he wants to force on God that his own. So that he will not submit to God's way of making somebody right. Let me ask you a question. If there's only one way to your into your house, and your windows are, they have burglar proofs and all that, okay? If somebody doesn't want to enter in through that one way, can he enter in? Can he say because he wants to enter in, he wants to break the roof? Will he not be arrested? All you see mankind doing with all their religions, including Christian religion, with all their uniform and holy, holy look and all of that, all of them, they are man trying to force God to accept his own way because man will refuse to just simply follow God's simple way by which men are saved. He said, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. You see, all of those things I was trying to, that if I do this thing, God will accept me. If I do this thing because I've done it, God will count me as his own. Christ has done it all. Hallelujah. If I have any work to do, my work is to make sure I'm following him and I'm following him for myself. That's the only work, if anybody wants to do anything. But to be boasting and, you know, to do all the manner of things that we do in church today and think that on that day we'll be able to enter in, no. You know, we call Jesus Lord. How many of us are his servants? Among those of us that call him Lord, how many of us actually serve him? Because we don't. But church has taught us to say Lord anyway, and they never ask us question on how we are following. Brethren, Christian religion can't save anyone. Matthew chapter 5 verse 20. And then we will do a comparison, a scriptural comparison, between Luke chapter 18, verse 11 to 12, and Romans 9:30 to verse 33. But for now, let us open Matthew 5 and verse 20. What does it say?
For I tell you,
this is Jesus speaking.
Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees.
Unless it exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees,
you will never enter the kingdom of heaven.
You will never enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, you see, me, I like to compare scripture with scripture, so I understand. Two classes of people were mentioned, Abby. Scribes, Pharisees. Is it not so? Now, scribes are like Bible theologians in the Old Testament times. Do you understand? They are the ones who interpret the law. They are the ones who copy it. You know, they use scrolls in those days, okay? And so it's easy for those papers to spoil. So from time to time, maybe every 30 years or 40 years, that they have to recopy. So the entire Bible, they must recopy it. They are like a special class of people, such that when people want to understand anything, they come to them, since they are familiar, okay, with the law of God. By the time of Jesus, they had arisen to become theologians, you know, who hold Bible schools, who do a manner of things like that. So, if you are talking about people that are close to God, it should not be people who recite God's law and know it of heart. It should be them. But Jesus said about them, if you are not more righteous than these people, you will not enter in. That tells you that what happens to scribes? Will they enter the kingdom? They will not enter. Amen. Pharisees, on their own side, they are the people's pastors. Who are Pharisees? When you see a Pharisee, from the bus stop, you would have known. The way he dresses, the way he walks, the way he carries himself, you will know. In fact, by his very name, Pharisee means the separated ones. Amen. And they are separated from every, you know, mere mortals like us. But Jesus said that they are hypocrites. And you see, I believe Jesus. Do you know why I believe Jesus? I believe him because, having investigated it all, I have not found anyone as holy, as righteous, as true to what he believes, and as genuine as Christ. I believe him. Who are the people that planned out they will kill him? Is it not the same Pharisees? Who has a Bible? Sir, please borrow me your Bible. I like this Bible. Uh-huh. The people that they were carrying, how are we going to kill him? You can see it's inconsistent. How can you be carrying Bible and you are thinking and talking about how you want to kill somebody else? Or you didn't know they planned to kill him? You didn't know? Should I show you in the Bible so that it's clear to you? They planned to kill him. I said from that time they started planning. How are we going to kill him? But we have to make sure people don't know. You know, so that they don't turn against us. He has taken away all the people. How are we going to kill him? Let us see a Pharisee's prayer. Amen. Luke chapter 18. And let us see whether we can call that prayer. Luke 18, verse 11 to verse 12.
Luke 18.
Yes, from verse 11 to verse 12.
The Pharisee is standing by himself.
Yes.
Prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men.
Look at the first thing, though. What did the Pharisee say? You see, the moment people want to start becoming spiritual, quote and unquote, but they are still in the flesh, this is how they pray.
I thank you that I am not like other men.
They begin by comparing themselves with other people. Does it remind you of somebody? Who is the person? Say me. Oh yeah now. Say me. Don't say... If you say you again, it's because you're a Pharisee again. The moment your Bible study is stable, the moment your prayer life is stable, what happens? So you start looking around to inspect those who are not doing their own way. It's the first mark of a Pharisee. Even when he's talking to God, before God, he compares himself with other people. And they that compare themselves to themselves, but what did the Bible say? They are not wise. If you are competing against anything at all, it's time. What are you competing against? Do you know why? Because there's what you came into this world to achieve. There's what God sent you to this world to do. And you don't have all the time. You won't live forever. So if you must compete with anything, it's time to make sure that in due season, you do what you need to do when you need to do it. He said, I'm not like other men. Yes?
Extortioners.
He's not an extortioner like the police.
Unjust.
He's not unjust like Agbero.
Adulterers.
He's not an adulterer like people that visit all these clubs and joints. He's not an adulterer.
Or even
he's
like,
not telling you that he doesn't see women on the road though, and fantasize. Though. You see, he didn't mention that one. The things he didn't talk about, God's system. Yes?
Or even like this tax collector.
I'm not even like this other man praying beside me. Look at that. I'm not even like this man. I'm better than him. And before you say, well, thank God, I don't pray like that. If you have ever thought, but what have you done with your life? You are a Pharisee. You are not better than anyone. You are not higher than anyone. You are different from everyone, and everyone is different from you. Amen. You are not higher, nobody is lower to you. You know those, some people, if they don't have money, when they see people that have money, they become very arrogant. What is it? Because they have this kind of stupid car. You know, one day I saw an Okada man telling, they had an issue with the man driving his car, and they told the man, as they were abusing them, says, is this the kind of car your mates are driving? The other side of it is, if somebody has that, somebody who has inferiority complex. If somebody else has superiority complex because he has money, he thinks that everybody should be his footmat. You understand? When a city people who don't have, automatically becomes, it's because they are lazy. They are not lazy. That's what he becomes. That is his prayer. That's half of his prayer. Let us hear the remaining half.
I fast twice a week.
Can you see? I fast how many times? Twice a week. You, do you even fast twice a week? So, when we are talking about Pharisees, we are talking about people who have drank religion. Oh, do you fast twice a week? Once gone, maybe you just try. This one fast dutifully twice a week. Yes?
I give tithe of all that I get.
He doesn't just tithe money. Jesus said he tithe even vegetable. When he goes to the market and he buys vegetable, if he buys ugu, he buys ewedu, he will take a tithe of the ugu, pack it, carry it to temple. He doesn't just tithe money, he even tithes vegetable. Yes? That's all he said. Did he ask for anything? Was he praying? He wasn't praying, he was just making noise. So when I hear Christians, so many misapplied night vigils. They say God. How will you say that to God? Do you know who God is? If you see God, you will not be able to shout. Where is your face? Well, if he shows his face, will you stand? We have perfected prayer points of Pharisees. So many prayer points, you can never find any foundation in scripture, even though the person leading the prayer point read the Bible. What he's saying, you will not find it in the Bible. You won't find it. We cannot force God to accept our form of worship. Amen? Before we were born, before we were even made, God in his infinite mercies had made up his mind that he will save man. Amen? And he has his own tested and proven method by which he will use. That method is Christ. What is that method? And whoever wants to be saved and wants to be admitted into the kingdom of God and of Christ must come through Christ. If he does not come through Christ, will he come in? How will he come in? Jesus has a register. And it is not Baptist register. It is not Anglican register. It is a register of the church of the firstborn. We can deceive pastors. Is it not so? We can pretend and look righteous before men of God. And they may be confused. Is Jesus confused? Does he not know actually who and who is following him? He does. He knows. That is how a Pharisee prays. He challenges God. He comes to debate before God. Jesus said, you don't need to be repeating your prayers. the Pharisee not only repeats his prayers, though, he makes it a doctrine. That if you don't say it well, God won't hear. It's not in the Bible, but that's what he says. Please, we're going to have a question and answer session. If I've said anything you don't understand, ask. Then we'll look at it in the Bible, okay? I also thought that the way to heaven is the way we have always known. After all, I'm in church, I'm serving God in church, and I've been a Christian. Until God said, no, look at Revelations very, very well. Chapter 21, 27. There shall in no wise enter in all that defile it, all that works an abomination, or works a lie, only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. And then I knew I have to look at it very, very well and be sure that I'm not a victim. May you not be a victim in the name of Jesus Christ. I want us to compare the scripture that we just read now with Romans chapter 9, verse 30 to 33, so I can move on very quickly, so that we can wrap up in this session as soon as possible. Romans 9, verse 30 to 33.
What shall we say then?
What shall we say then?
That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained it.
Are we going to say that the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness as according to the law of Moses, have they now attained righteousness by faith? Yes.
That is a righteousness that is by faith.
Yes.
But that Israel who pursued a law that would lead to righteousness.
But Israel that pursued a law that would lead to righteousness.
Did not succeed in reaching that law.
Didn't succeed in meeting up with that law so that they are now righteous.
Why?
Why is it so?
Because they did not pursue it by faith.
It is because Israel did not pursue righteousness by faith. Righteousness does not come by works. It comes by faith. If anybody will gain admittance into God's kingdom, it's not on the basis of what you have done or what you have not done. It's on the basis of your faith in Jesus Christ alone. That it may be of grace. Lest any man should boast. There are works of faith though. What did I say? But they are so different from the works of the law. Let's just follow a simple example. That's verse 32, Abby. Yes. Please hold on. Let's just take a very simple example. If you want to know whether somebody is backsliding in church, what will start happening? When you say somebody is backsliding in church, what are the things you notice? Yes, yes, yes. Maybe it stops coming, or it's inconsistent in the way it comes or when it comes. One. Yes. What else? He stops giving in that church. That's another one. In fact, that's a major one. Yes. Contributing to your church. Giving. What else again? Oh yeah. Why are you suddenly now you are doing as if you don't know? Okay, the way he calls servant of God to pray for him. Daddy, toilet my boy, I'm over here, yes, sir, yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Those things reduce. Yes? What else? Because those things are actually not basis for backsliding. That's what I'm trying to tell you. But because what we follow is righteousness based on set of rules and laws. Once somebody flout those rules or laws, we say they are not righteous. And those who are doing those, will be like, at the gate of heaven. Oh yeah, there are still plenty. What else? Not active. Even when it is misdirected zeal. Let me tell you another one. Not say, or clap to say, amen, to everything the pastor says, you are backsliding. If you are a late comer, if you are constantly coming late, it's true. It's because you are backsliding. You are not serving the Lord. Yes? You raise your hand. When you stop coming around your pastor and all that, it's because, or for counseling, you are backsliding. Yes? Who else? There are still more. Yes? Going to meetings that other Christians are holding. You are an adulterous fellow. You didn't branch at a mosque. It was a church you went. You become an idol worshiper. If we want to do anything for people in the church, and it goes with money, what do? We didn't write these rules down, but they are there. We take some register out, is it not so? We look at attendance. We look at their giving. And if we wait, if they are found wanting, so well, it is well. The church will not be able to do anything because there are so many things that the church is committed to now. We need to rework our foundation as a church. And I'm talking about the entire body of Christ. I hope I'm being recorded so that anywhere it reaches. Because the things upon which our foundation is based is not scriptural, is not on the basis of what Jesus died for or what he taught. That's the problem with us. Yet, if you see a genuine Christian, you can't miss it. Do you know why you can't miss it? Eh? Even if he has a Ogbomosho marks like this, he will look like Jesus. Amen. If you meet two of them, one from China, the other from Ogbomosho, you know one is black, the other is yellow. They will look like brothers from the same womb. For the law of Christ is simple to follow. It is my prayer to God that the church will be saved. Okay, read verse 33, then I can move on.
As it is written,
Behold, I am laying in Zion
a stone of stumbling.
I have laid in Zion a stone of stumbling.
And a rock of offense. And whoever believes in him will not be put to shame.
But whoever who believes in him will not be put to shame. That rock of offense that God has put in Zion, what is that rock, or who is that rock? Jesus. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 4. For that rock was Christ. So, by Jesus coming into the church, or into people who say they knew God, those who stumble over him and they fall down, it is because they thought they could set aside this cornerstone that cannot be set aside. So they will stumble at him. There's no how. Because they want to form a type of religion that they use his name but does not lead to him. That they use his name but will not lead to the kingdom of God. They will keep stumbling at him. Let me ask you a question. It's a controversial question. What kind of question is it? Very controversial. But do you want to hear it? Have you read about the life of Jesus before? Huh? How many offerings did you see him collect? I will leave it there. If you are you not saying we shouldn't be asking offering, write your question down so that when it's time to ask question, I will answer you. I didn't say that we shouldn't collect offering. But to monetize the church. And it's not in the Bible. The Holy Spirit that has made the gospel to go around the world, we didn't tell him that he's the one that makes the gospel go around, though. We say it's money. So if you have questions, ask. We'll answer you. The truth is that we have departed from Jesus thousands of years ago. And because the things that we met looked original, we thought that is the truth. No. All you need to do is check the life of Christ and his apostles, the way they lived. And check what we are doing in church today. Choose the one that you want to believe. If Jesus was like the way we are now, will the church go beyond the demon? If he started in the demon, he won't though. And if he did, it would just be a gathering of compromisers and hypocrites. That's what it will be. But it went around the world because it is genuine. Because that faith is holy and it is true. And because that is what we met, don't think that the body of Christ currently is can take anybody to heaven. It will not. For it is in active disobedience against its Lord. It has forgotten its master. As I attempt to wrap up, so how then do we make it in? If I want to enter into God's eternal kingdom, how will I enter? Brethren, it is through three different qualifications. All of these qualifications have Jesus as a central theme and dominant figure. Three ways. Number one, the first qualification. Number one, three qualifications of how to make it in. First qualification, just listen to me, then you can look at the board and write from the board, okay? It is on the basis of personal and individual faith. It is on the basis of personal and individual faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary that perfectly takes care. You'll have to write from here because I'm skipping scriptures. So you'll have to look at it and write from here. That perfectly takes care of our former lives of sin. That's the first qualification. Your faith must be personal. It must be individual. Are you getting it now? You cannot be hiding under collective anointing. What did I say? As good as it is, the problem with it is that, collective anointing, the problem with it is that challenges will come to you. In fact, most of the time, they will not meet you in church. Those challenges. They will meet you where brethren are not there. If Satan comes now to this place now, even the least serious among us as a Christian, if Satan comes now and tempts you before all of us, will you fall? Talk, are you shy? He will not fall. I will not fall too. If you say, I do this, I say, how can I do that kind of thing? I'm a child of the Lord. Actually, I am. But he may get another response if he could corner me alone. Do you understand that? So, it's very, very important that my faith must be personal. It must be individualistic. It must not be that I'm having faith in other people's faith. My faith must be whose own? My own. I must have faith in my own faith. Amen. And what must my faith be in? My faith must be in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you. Did he say it is finished when he was about to die? Did he say it is finished? How will I bring upon myself and say to myself, what Jesus said has finished, then I'll say it has not finished. So you hear me say things like, gbogbogun lati le baba mi lati ye iya mi ti baba mi ja ti to fi ku temi na ti gbe bayi. You see, with your mouth, or by your mouth you're justified, and by your mouth you're condemned. The moment, even if you had no ogun before, the moment you declare that I have, what happens? So, akpe mora ni temi dire, boja bi na ni akpe mora na ni. Because a Christian is such a powerful person that the things that he says, that he does not know, does not make it less laws. In the spirit realm, the things a Christian says, what are they? They are laws. What he says is what must happen, whether it is negative or positive. Now, am I telling you just about positive confession? Is that what I'm saying? Let me ask you a question. You know, many times pastors will tell you, ogun to awaju e o se koto soro ke pastor ologun ni, and I'll give you a scripture. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. To ba kan yo bible ba lo se so awon ta n ba jagun abi ki se awon eleran ara. It's not flesh and blood. It is principalities, powers, and also his pastor himself. His pastor's battle not more than a church member's battle. I'm asking you, okay, in case you don't know, I'm a servant of God. I can tell you our own is more. For whatever you all bring, that's how we fight. It is a pastor that you be prayed for. But Jesus said it is finished. So what do? Even though an ongoing battle is in my Father's house, what do? I drag it into the presence of He who said it is finished. And what happens to that thing? It becomes finished. It's how to deal with those things. Faith in the finished work of Jesus. There's nothing you can do to add to it. No. He's only asking you to come and enjoy the victory that he has won on your behalf by the shedding of his blood. He's not asking you to come and fight. He's not asking you to come and do anything. Just come and stand by faith on the basis of what I've done. And if you will do that, you will know victory and peace on the land of the living. And the devil, whenever he sees you, will be running from you because he knows you know the truth. Number two, qualification, if I want to enter in into his kingdom. Second qualification, it's on the basis of his teachings, actions, and lifestyle that keeps me holy, godly, and sanctified daily as I make them the basic tenets of my life. Amen. Look at it. This threefold work, the way they are, one is past. Are you getting it now? One is present. And the last, this is what? The future. Amen. One is what? Past. Like, for instance, now let us assume you are born again. Then it's something that has happened. Abi, it has happened. Your sins have been dealt with. It is past. It's not that you keep asking God to forgive you again and again, as if he didn't forgive you the first time you prayed that prayer, because he did. Then, if that is done, the next one is, you then begin to live your life on the basis of his teachings, his lifestyle, okay? And what's the third thing there? And his actions, what he did. And as you copy his example, you become holy like him. You are not doing any work. You are not trying to fast 40 days and 40 nights. You are not trying to, you know, just do all the funny things that we do today. You are not trying to drink oil with water, because they say it's holy water. You are just simply following the examples of Jesus Christ as he laid it down. And as you do that daily, you become righteous. For that is the person that God said about, see, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased, hear him. Now that we have refused to hear him, we are quoting Moses. We are quoting Elijah. The church knows more about several prophets than they know about Jesus. And it was not Moses that died for you, it was Jesus that died. If you slap a Christian today, he would have slapped you back before he said, I will slap you. But Jesus thought and said, if somebody slaps your right cheek, what do you do? Turn the left. Can you? Do you believe? Amen. If somebody slaps your face now, what will happen? I mean automatically, not that you are trying to consciously do anything. That just automatically, you would have fought. And then you say you're a Christian. A Christian is anyone who is like Christ. A Christian is anyone who follows the examples of Jesus. Not just by word of mouth, but by life. By life. By life. Finally, before we pray, the third and last qualification. How do I make it in? It's on the basis of his precious promises that keeps us hopeful, expectant, and watchful as we await his return to usher us into the everlasting kingdom that he promised. Look at it. The first one deals with when I first met him. Is it not so? What he did for me so I can come in. Alright? The second one deals with how I'm supposed to live every single day. The third one deals with how eventually I will make it in as I look at his promise in the future that Jesus promised this. He keeps us hopeful. He keeps us expectant. He keeps us watchful. It's even when General Basia is not watchful. That's when church member will be watchful. When General Basia doesn't want to die, that's when you are saying, Lord Jesus, come quickly, come. They will not tell you that, oh, serious. That, oh, they plan for a year. But will he come? Yes, he will come. Because he's not a liar. Amen. He said in John chapter 14, he said from verse 1, he said, you believe in God, but believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. See, I'm going. I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back again so that I can take you unto myself. So that where I am, there also you will be forever. And on the day he ascended to heaven, at the foot of the Mount Olives, two angels appeared there and they said, this same Jesus that was taken up from you, in the same manner that you see him go, in that same manner he will come back again. There's a conspiracy of silence, for the church has chosen to keep quiet about the fact that he's coming back again. If you are not one that is coming, how will you prepare that for his coming? Will you be serious? If you are supposed to put it in a matter of percentage, how did Jesus warn us about his coming? To be expectant, and so I'll put it on 20%, 50%, 100%. The teaching of Jesus about be careful, oh, make sure you are ready, oh, I'm coming soon, oh, what is it? Is it 20%, 50%, or 100%? 100%. In a day and age today, the preaching of pastors, is it 20%, 50%, or 100%? Is it up to 20? So, that tells you nobody can help you to be saved. What did I say? If you are going to be saved, you will work very hard to make sure that he is saved. It is you. For nobody will remind you. But they will pray for you that you have a flat in Lekki. And that would have been good if you will not die. Amen. I mean, a flat in Lekki would have been good. Banana Island and the rest of them. It would have been nice. Let's say you will live in this world forever. But there's an estate, brethren, that will show man's actual estate. And it's not on this side. Like our estate also has walls. It has a gate. Except that if you put all the estates of this world together, they are not up to boys' quarter, one boys' quarter in one of the mansions in that place. If you like, spend 150 years, one day you are going. What I'm talking to you about is when you go, where are you going? That's what I'm talking to you about. And if you have to go, how can you be sure of where you are going? That's what I'm talking to you about. How can you be sure that you will come to a rousing welcome? How can you be sure that you will not be dragged away screaming by nightmares incarnated? You know, devils. You see them, what they really, really look like. As we take our hymn song, the next one, where it leads, I'll follow. And then we pray on these things that we have learned. Let us stand up. We need to sing this song, and then we take our prayers from these things that we have learned today. So that we have learned in this first session before we go on break. Where he leads, I'll follow.
Promises, kind is the word. There are far than any message man ever had. Your word. the mind of Christ. Sin let I see, is a great example, is a pattern for me. Daily to follow all the way. Daily to follow Jesus every day. Daily to follow all the way. Follow Jesus every day. Sweet is the tear along Jesus ashore. Sweet our Father, let me love that more. Kind to the erring one, faithful is he. He's a great example, he's a pattern for me. Yea, little follow all the way. Very little follow Jesus every day. Very little follow all the way. Follow Jesus every day. To me, weary and laden, there is sweet rest for thee. Trust his promises, faithful assure. Lean upon the Savior, and thy soul is secure. Follow all the way. Where is thou follow Jesus every day. Where is thou follow all the way. Follow Jesus every day.
Brethren, we have come to the time of decision. As we close our eyes to pray, I ask you to respond to the Lord. Have you made this? Have you met this first qualification? Have you come to Jesus?
Jesus,
is your faith resting upon Jesus? Upon his finished work upon the cross of Christ? Upon the cross of Calvary? Are you now living on the basis of his teaching? Are you following his lifestyle? Have you made his teachings the law for your own life? Are you hopeful on the basis of his precious promises? Are you expectant? Are you watchful? Are you awaiting his return as he comes to take us into the everlasting kingdom? If you want to respond to the Lord, if you want to tell him where you live, I'll follow. I'll follow you on the way. Where you lead, I'll follow, and I'll follow you every day. I want you to come out before the altar and talk to your maker. If you are coming, please come on time. You want to go on break. I want you to tell him, Master, wherever you lead, I may not know what the future holds, but I will follow you. You are the one I will follow. Wherever you lead, that's where I will follow. And I will follow you every day. Not only will I put individual faith, my own, I want to keep looking up in expectation. Now yes, my master is coming. And their presence is coming. Let me live my life. Wait. Let me live my life expectant that he will come. Lord, all the way.
Amen. Choose the way of the Lord.
I choose the way of the Lord.
I choose the way of the Lord.
I choose the way of the Lord.
For the way of the Lord is the
name we are praying.
Amen.
If you are standing in front, I want you to pray and talk to the Lord. Lord, I've responded to you. It's not that I wasn't even saved before now. As I've responded, Lord, pick me up. Let me find ease as I journey through this world, as I walk with you in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will help this beloved who are responding to you. Pick them up, Lord. Make a spiritual life easy for them. Let them find it easy to walk with you. Let it be easy. In the name of Jesus. For where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. Let it be, O Lord my God. Even in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Please, I want you to kneel before the Lord as you are prayed for. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus. The Bible says we should labor to enter into your rest. Lord, in the name of Jesus, bring them in Jesus' name. Let grace show up for them. Let mercy be a blanket around them. Shield them from what they can't handle. Strengthen them against what they must face. In the name of Jesus. Lord, from today, help them. As I said, they are responding to you. Help them, O Lord my God, to begin to learn to live on the basis of your law. Help them, O Lord my God, to be expectant on the basis of your promises, even in the name of Jesus. We thank you because you are faithful. Thank you because you hold them by the hand. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Father, I pray for this congregation in the name of Jesus. As we have come into this meeting, having finished the introduction, Lord, I pray as you are opening our hearts, opening more in Jesus' name. All that belongs to us, let nothing elude us in the name of Jesus. Lord, show up for us. Personalize these things more. Speak more specifically to us in the name of Jesus. We thank you because you are faithful. We glorify your holy name. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Having listened to the undiluted word of God, we implore you to respond to this message prayerfully. Remember, it is what you do with what you hear that brings about transformation. For further inquiries or counsel, or for more information on our discipleship labors, please contact us on
080-8133-8536,
080-7455-8177, 081-409-9132-1, or visit our blogspot at www.reformationplatform.com.
When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life